Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's November 2nd, 2021, as we start to wrap up the entire year.
The horses are coming to the barn. You ever ride horses?
What?
Have you ever ridden horses?
Yeah.
And what happens when you get at the end of the path and they get towards the barn? They get all spunky.
All I know is that you have to brush them.
Not feed them, just brush them. Anyway, November is here. October is gone. October was one of the best months in a long time. And what was interesting was I was on the heels of a pretty awful September. And then it was like somebody just flicked on a light switch and everybody started buying again. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be better this month, they say.
That's what they say, which that leads me to believe it won't be.
Right? That's what I'm thinking, too. But you don't have too many collapses in November, December that I can remember.
Well, that's even more appropriate that there's the potential for this. I mean, if you think about it, almost every time we talk about something that's well known, the opposite happens.
Yes, that's the great thing. That's the most interesting thing about the market.
We have No Shave November going on right now, which is good. It's cancer awareness. And I haven't shaved, although I'm not sure if I'm going to do this for very long, because about 2 or 3 days in, the wife is going to be like, what the hell? You look terrible. You look ancient and old and disgusting. She'll say that to me.
And then you'll shave.
Probably. But we have something else in November that you may or may not be aware of, but we have the No Shave November. Everybody knows about that. But there's also the No Nut November, which is kind of sick.
What's no nut?
Well, no nut is, there's rules, and I'll tell you the rules. No nut November, here are the rules. No ejaculation is allowed by any means. Pornography, though, is allowed. You must complete
Where does this come from? Is this from Hustler?
This is really weird. It supposedly allows time to find other interests.
In November?
Yeah, well, you do it so that you can free yourself of, I guess it's kind of like a...
Who created this idea?
Some sick bastard.
Well, yeah, I was assuming that, but it's got to come from some source. Just didn't show up in your inbox.
I mean, you would think maybe it was, could it be a church or a religious sect or...
You don't know.
This is, no, I mean, I can look it up. No Nut November origin. Would that be right, maybe?
That should get you the
Wikipedia.
Clue.
Here we go. Wikipedia. No Nut November is an internet challenge revolving around abstinence, in which participants abstain.
Internet challenge.
Yeah, it started in 2007, in which participants abstained from masturbation and orgasming during the month of November. It originated in the early 2010s and grew in popularity. But they can watch pornography, and there's some health benefits to it.
Why would you want to do that?
It seems to be
painful. So where's the study from the Journal of American Medical Association?
That's about it. That's about all it
has. Benefits, quote-unquote, benefits of watching porn.
And there's also another one, a Destroy Dick December is a related internet challenge following the No Nut November.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd shave.
I mean, I'm definitely shaving. You know, the hell with these games. The hell with these games. I've noticed something. Everybody seems to win. Everything wins. There's no losers anymore. This may be, you know, I just thought of this. Maybe there is maybe this is the financial world's everybody gets trophy. Because
participation trophy is what you referred to.
Yeah, you get a participation trophy for just being a public company.
Yeah.
You know, there's no longer anybody who goes bankrupt and nobody who suffers too badly. And if they do, they get a bailout. So I guess maybe there's something to this because this idea of coexistence and prospering, even with competition that is supposed to knock you down and totally take you out of existence, doesn't even happen. For example, we talked about, and we're going to talk about this further because there's something fascinating happened today. But, you know, the car companies, Hertz, Avis, they were supposed to be destroyed by the Ubers. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow miraculously medallions eventually come back to be full value one day.
Well, there's your investment opportunity.
Yeah. It seems to me that there is no failure at all. We can just keep on having more and more restaurants, more fast food, more businesses, more online, more offline, more stores. You know, we can just have more and more of everything, and everything somehow miraculously prospers. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, this the Biden administration. It's the Biden magic.
Yeah, it is magic. God bless him. And I found a new site for news and research, which I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to give everybody. Everybody's going to hang on to the show to hear about that. But I'm still checking it out. But it looks interesting. It's got some things like insider trading, but with some nice charts. And it has short interest. And it has a variety of other pieces of information that really show you a really nice snapshot of historically where things were and where they are today. So we'll talk about that. Hey, the markets. October ends with a surge, even though Amazon and Apple disappointed. That was probably the most interesting thing about last Friday when October came to a close.
Yeah.
We had, you know, great news from the banks, and then we saw Microsoft, and we saw Netflix do really well, and Google was doing great, and we saw some other things like Twitter really just do horribly. Snapchat, there's a big concern over the new Apple update, which gave you the choice of opting into being tracked, and that was a big problem for social media, especially those that rely, of course, on advertising and those advertising that is directly related to your where you are, location, you know, it's targeted. And
yeah, but wait, targeted. Okay, for example, I have mixed feelings about the damage to a Facebook, for example, by Apple's new phone privacy settings, because most of the power of Facebook, insofar as advertising is concerned, is really gleaned from the profile of the person and where they live and how old they are and what their interests are. It's got nothing to do with tracking you.
No, I think it does. I disagree. Okay. I'm under the understanding that it's not only your profile, which is obviously the starting off point for what they know about you, but then it's the algorithms check for who your friends are, what your friends are doing, who you're hanging out with, who you're mentioning, where you're going, what places you're at, possibly even doing some kind of AI of pictures that you take. Like, let's say you have a lot of pictures of dogs.
Well,
mention they're also listening in on the phone.
Well, I don't know about that, but
we know that. There's been studies. I am telling you firsthand. I was having a conversation with a friend, and
you've told this story before, but tell it again.
I was walking with a friend, and we were talking about this hernia mesh that I had years ago. It was terrible, and we were talking about this whole thing about if you have the hernia repair, you can get it the new way, the old way, the Canadian method, the hernia repair, the mesh, and blah 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 blah. This whole thing. And he's never talked about this before. He told me he's never talked about this before. And we're just walking along. And 2 days later, he starts getting all these ads for hernia mesh.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
It is. It's not weird. It's just creepy.
Yeah.
But I will say, I don't think that Facebook's advertising model needs that kind of depth.
They're the ones that are telling us that this is a problem for them. They're telling us this. They're saying the change to the Apple privacy rules are going to be a problem for our advertising. I'm just telling you.
I'm understanding what you're saying, and I'm understanding what they're saying. I just don't think it is a problem.
Okay.
I think they may be sandbagging you.
Oh, well, that's possible. And then they're giving us maybe this as an excuse that provides for reasons why they missed otherwise, like Twitter.
There's going to be a lot of different things that happened. Snap. And But yeah, it would be a nice excuse. Oh, no, Apple, it's their fault, not mine. And
blame the other guy.
I still think that their model for advertising is such that just what they have without gleaning all this other stuff, like the discussions on the phone that they steal, without doing any of that stuff, there's nothing to compete with them.
The only problem with your theory is it assumes also that the targeting can be done to the information they put in their profiles and that the profiles are complete and accurate. Or maybe not complete, but there's enough data and information there and the data is accurate.
Well, okay, I'll stop you again. Uh-huh. I can argue about this, by the way, for a
it's
while.
It's obvious.
So you have an advertising buy, and I need 100,000 people of a certain type. They all need to be hunters, let's say, or fishermen. Facebook could dig those people out of just people that have photos of fishing. I mean, it's not going to be very difficult to get those 100,000 people, mm-hmm. or a million for that matter. They got billions. So I can get a million because I want to sell a lure or some fishing gear. And let's say that what you say is true, and maybe a half dozen of these people or hundreds of these people are full of crap. They never fished in their life. They have no real interest in it. They're just full of it. So what? Compare that to the newspaper advertising or advertising in magazines.
Right, right. I mean, the only thing that there's a commonality with newspaper advertising is that they read a newspaper. That's first of all. And that they're in a certain geographic area, right?
Yes.
That's all you can really tell.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's a special interest publishing and it's a fisherman's magazine, yeah, you can make the argument
different. Right.
That you can target the people that subscribe to that magazine. It's very unlikely that they're full of crap, and it might be just as good a buy. But if you wanted to fine tune it to people that do fly fishing or the different kinds of fishing, or they're like you, the ocean fish, deep ocean fisher, it probably is much easier to do with Facebook.
I mean, you're not going to advertise to a magazine that is a vegetarian magazine. You're not going to do, you know, a deal on hamburgers.
No.
That's what you're saying, the opposite extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. But
I just think Facebook has the best advertising mechanism ever developed.
I agree, which is basically, just to repeat what you're thinking, is people freely give them information and then they utilize that to stick it right back
in
your face.
Crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's like one of the greatest things they've ever stumbled upon.
Yeah. How ridiculous people are.
And so maybe they're crying wolf or they're crying poor mouth. That's the right term. They're crying, oh no, Apple's done this, so it's going to hurt our feelings. It's, you know, just because people are on their case. They're trying to destroy Facebook because it's such a danger to the advertising community in general. They're better than Google's. The only thing that has some competition that I could see. Well, yeah, Google can do a couple of things that Facebook probably.
And there he goes. He's gone. Just disappeared. John, I can't hear you. It must be that pesky little mouse in there again. I don't think anybody else could hear him as well. You can reset that button on that internet, John, so we can hear you, and then we'll get to the next topic. But basically, what we were saying was that, well, Amazon and, not Amazon, Twitter, and you back?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, good.
Sorry.
Ah, good.
I don't know why that happened. That's been happening on Zoom a little more than it should.
Mm. Anyway, so just to kind of tag on to the end of this point, what I was saying was that on Friday, there was some pretty ugly numbers from Apple. There was about a $6 billion hole that was blamed on, of course, supply chain issues with Apple. Sure. Amazon missed. The only thing that was profitable was AWS due to higher costs across the board. Stocks were down pretty significantly, but the NASDAQ, I'm really focusing just on the NASDAQ here. The NASDAQ 100 once again turned a 0.75% loss into a gain by the end of the day, which is fascinating. Up the last like 8 days in a row, the NASDAQ, a lot of that due to Tesla, which we're going to talk about. But pretty interesting where Amazon and Apple were. And then you had after the fact, after Tim Cook said, hey, you know, kind of a lousy quarter overall. There's some reasons for it. Let me give you some of those. Analysts were falling over each other, just fighting and just crawling over each other to explain how great a quarter it really was. It's unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Right?
And people, they get it. Yeah.
If you insanity. Take out the loss, if you take out the fact they didn't deliver, and if you kind of discount the fact that
do
things
this,
cost
do
more,
that. Who could have, would
have,
should
have. Such a great quarter.
Yeah, best ever.
Yep. One of the greatest things that happened and most fascinating things this week happened just yesterday. The Squid Game coin. Did you watch Squid Game?
I Adam turned me on to it, and so I decided to try to watch it, and I used the word try. I watched the first episode, and I started watching. Yeah, it kind of jumped the shark for me in the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it was pretty jumpy. I agree with you. In some,
there was a moment where when they were doing the vote about let's quit, or because they could get out of their situation. I'm not buying the way that went.
The old guy was just not. Yeah, that wasn't believable.
The whole thing was not believable. Right. So once when I get credibility issues in the storyline, I really can't watch it after that.
Well, I think you have to back up and watch the bigger storyline, not actually some of it, because it was with the dubbing and with the acting to begin with, it was questionable. Anyway, point is, there was this coin that was created, the Squid Game coin, I'm not exactly sure that was the right exact name, but I believe it was a Squid Game coin. It was a cryptocurrency, you know, and it was kind of like, hey, you buy these things, and then you get to buy into a game, and then don't worry, nobody's going to be quote-unquote eliminated if they don't win the game. Surges like 40,000% or more, some ridiculous number. And like,
how do we miss that? If
it was like happened in 4 days. Now, I watched it. I remember on Sunday, I got some web page. I'm like, okay, let me see if I can track this, because it's kind of interesting how it's moving from 0.001 cent or something like that. It's up to like $35. That's a big move in a couple of days, right?
You think?
And I'm starting to watch this thing, and then it goes up and starts moving up, and then it moves up. We'll talk about this, but basically it was a scam. I got some more details coming. Hang on. Because we're going to talk about that. Sick people involved in this thing. There was no way to sell it. It wasn't sellable.
If you had it at 30, you could buy it, but you couldn't sell it?
The rule was you could buy it, but not sell it.
What rule?
That was the coin rule. And then, poof, it's gone. Within hours, I woke up in the morning on Monday morning. It was gone. Not done. Gone. Off. There's nothing. No,
so people were still buying it at $35.
$35 was like $2,700.
What?
I'm telling you, it went ridiculous. It went. I got a chart.
So somebody bought one at $2,700.
I'm telling you, sit tight. Something. This is a chart you have to see. Okay. This is an unbelievable deal. Finally, Zillow is not good. Sick, disturbing. I guess the word sick is a few times.
Well, you got very upset about this. Were you involved? Did you have some shares in Zillow?
No, not at all. But what I saw was happening, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, I believe, was that Zillow was creating their own markets. They were going out.
I did. Okay. Before when you sent me this, the first thing I thought of was, I didn't know Zillow was doing any of this. Yeah. I didn't know they were investing.
Yeah, iBuy.
You knew this?
Yes, I know about this. That's what's happening. If you go on Zillow, you click a button that says, hey, if this is your house, we want to give you an offer on it. They were buying houses left and right.
See, I didn't know this. I still use Zillow for research.
Yeah.
It's a good resource, but
is it? Wait, but is it? If they were buying homes and they're the ones putting the price on the Z estimate, got to think about that. Is there some collusion internally going on there?
Well, okay. That's not why when I say research, I didn't mean it for buying and selling. I meant it for like, where's the house located? Okay. How much is it? How was it kind of worth? What did it sell for last time? Who bought it?
Right.
Also, do you have an interior thing? I walk through the house. That's kind of fun. That's the kind of research I'm talking about.
Now, we heard, and you talked about this on No Agenda, by the way, No Agenda, Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, Thursdays and Sundays at 12 live. You got to check it out, where they deconstruct the news and talk about things that will just make your head spin. One of the things you talked about was all these investors. Several times you've talked about it on that show, about investors buying up properties. Right? Yeah. Adam was on that.
Right. He sold his other house to one of them.
All right. Maybe it was Zillow. We don't know.
No. It was some woman who was a small timer, and she was picking stuff up at over. She was picking them up over listing, And it was a reasonably good amount over listing in a hot market. Austin's hot market. And so instead of dicking around, because you, when you're doing buying and selling in today's market, you really don't want to sit on something too long if you can't afford to pay for two mortgages. So they unloaded on her with her, and it was, it made it very seamless. It was a good thing to do.
Well, here's what happened, that Zillow had some kind of algorithm again.
Ooh, the algos.
Well, here's the problem with the algos. When you let just machines make decisions on things that you really don't have, it's not like simply an Excel spreadsheet where you have an algorithm somewhere that can multiply, add, subtract, and come up with a solution. There's a lot more involved. It's not simply, well, the house next door sold for $300 per square foot. Therefore, let's just multiply this house and add the fact they have a pool, and voila, that's the price. There's a lot more that goes into that. You know, it's without seeing the house, without understanding the build, without understanding how everything is laid out, the age of the stuff inside. I mean, I don't even know how they were doing this. So they were powering his home flipping operations to make higher offers, the algo, and it ended up winning so many bids that it stopped making new offers on properties. Now, after buying more homes in the third quarter than it ever has before, the company is working through a backlog that need to be fixed up and sold, facing the reality that there's slowing price appreciation and they're going to have to sell a lot of homes at a loss.
And, well, good for people getting to buy them.
Right, that's a good point. But now Zillow put a record number of homes on the market in September, listing prices at the lowest markups since November of 2018. In Bloomberg, they're suggesting that Zillow is looking to unload 7,000 homes for upwards of $2.8 billion after its algo overbid him.
Just to get out from under.
Yeah. Now, the earnings came out this evening. Here's a kind of follow-up on this. And again, my theory was that what if Zillow was tweaking their Z estimates to push up home values?
Yeah, that's your theory. I can tell.
That is the theory that has gone on with the markets lately, with the buying, the out-of-the-money calls, having
the same thing with people that fix the money markets.
It's the same thing over and over. There's so much free money out there that you could do this in every single market. If I have a house that I bought for $100,000 myself, and a year later I buy that house from myself for $200,000, does it mean it's worth $200,000? It's the stupidest thing. That's what's going on.
Yeah, that's what's going on. I find it fascinating.
People are just like eating their own legs.
Yeah.
Anyway, the earnings came out on Zillow tonight. Miserable. Down 20%. Today.
Been a good short.
They're shutting down their iBuy, which is the whole thing. They're laying off 20%, 25% of their employees, and you probably have some distressed sales that are going to show up. Now, here's the question. There is another competitor that really hasn't been hit in the same degree. I mean, I think Zillow is 50 or 60% off of their high. It's called Open Door. The question is, and symbol O-P-N, O-P-E-N. Mm-hmm. The question is, is Zillow's loss going to be Open Door's gain? So is there an opportunity or warning here? Right?
Yeah, that's exactly the question I'm going to ask.
So
O-P-E-N?
O-P-E-N. And that's an interesting question. There was, after the earnings came out, after the announcement they're going to be closing down, that Zillow's going to be closing down their iBuy component, you know, maybe this is actually going to be some kind of a less competition and actually somehow, miraculously, good for this other company. I'm just thinking.
Well, it could be, yeah.
Or it could be really bad.
Normally, I would expect to see it be hit, whether it was good or bad. Just, you know, the old copycat thing. Oh, it happened. Bad for them, bad for everyone.
I've heard also anecdotally from other companies that are going all, we'll call it, it's not non-human, all computer. You know what I'm talking about? Those companies that think they can do it better? That trend of we could do it better without people? Somebody's mentioning on the game, like Carvana, all these kind of, you know, nobody getting under the hood or selling you some kind of product that needs a little bit more nuance, those kinds of deals. The problem is that I've heard several different companies that are not doing well, some public, some non-public.
Yeah, like what?
One of them I can't talk about. But the point is, I'm just saying that it seems to me that there's some kind of assumption that was made, and there was maybe a gravitation towards these for a while, and people are realizing, you know what, I don't get the same service or the same prices, and you know, it's I just don't want to work with people, so I'm happy with this, but there's a reality setting up that maybe working with somebody isn't the worst thing in the world.
Well, it's like buying a used car.
But buying a used car sight unseen just from pictures versus...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Buying a used car, you want to check the car out, yeah. Start it, see if it starts, boom, starts right up or... I mean, there's all these different aspects, and looks good on a photo. It's photogenic, but you go there, it's all beat up and paint's chipping all. I mean, I can't imagine buying a car sight unseen.
Right, right. And usually for a boat, for example, you always bring a surveyor out. I would do the same thing with a car. You know, you don't know what's hidden, what kind of thing was slapped back together, a little crazy glue that you want to know about. Anyway, something to think about, just to watch these types of companies, keep them on the radar right now. The companies that are all, all up with the...
Heading to the algos.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, you have any examples?
I gave you Zillow. I gave you Open. I think the Carvana. There's some of the... Who else would be out there? There's
Lemonade.
Lemonade is an insurance company.
Oh.
So, something to think about. Back to the coins. Squid Game coin. So, here's the real numbers. Because here's all the details. It rocked 300,000% in a few days. It went from, this is the exact details now, from about a penny to $35. And I saw some pricing that actually moved to $1,750 for a moment. And then on Monday morning, all of a sudden it went poof, down to back to 1 cent again. Scammers closed it down and took $1.2 million at least, if not more, of people's money out.
Wow.
Here's the there's a chart here. The chart will be on the show notes.
Shouldn't somebody be arrested?
Oh, of course. Somebody. They moved it into all sorts of other tokens and coins, probably cashed out of it already. But yes, of course, this is a total scam. It's not the first one. There's also one. There was another. What was the one? There was another one, too, based on a TV show that the coin came out. And I don't know who's buying these things and what it is. I mean, there was some story about somebody in China, or maybe it was Japan, somewhere. They put all their money in this, all $28,000, what they had. I am certain they thought they were like a multimillionaire for a little while there.
And then they were for a little while.
Yeah, for a little while. So... Look at this chart. This is a chart that only shows it going to 34.
It's a ludicrous chart.
Right. So, got a few more of those coming along. Ethereum hit a record close, number tonight at $4,600 per coin.
Bye.
So, there you go. It's moving along. I want to talk a little bit about, and you've probably been covering this, it's a little bit of out of order here, but I think we need to talk about this ridiculous Keystone Cops Washington version. I mean, it's totally, the government is like, they're like children. They more so than I've seen it in a while. It just keeps getting worse. Totally
dysfunctional. What are you referring to specifically?
I'm talking about this whole infrastructure budget deal they're trying to put together.
Yeah.
Now several House Democrats are requiring a CBO score. It's like, I'm thinking to myself, well, that's actually sensible.
You think you'd have that, not only sensible, but you think it'd already be there somewhere.
You would think that. But the problem is you can't. You know why? Because they change this 50 times. And it takes a while to come up with a score of the effectiveness of the spend and the money.
Yeah, they can't even get a solid number on what the bill. They say we reduced the bill to 1.8 mil, a trillion. Let's get that straight. 1.8 trillion. And so it says, no, yeah, you say that, but it's actually really still a $3.8 trillion bill. And then someone else comes along and says, no, you haven't done the numbers right. This is a $7 trillion bill.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I know there's a lot of things that go on for a number of years.
So you have this thing. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
And they won't just pass the infrastructure bill because the Senate, I'm sorry, because the House progressive Democrats, and there's between 90 and 100 of them, which is a good part of the whole Congress, the communists. Uh-huh. And they refuse to do just the one bill at a time because they know they're going to get screwed on the other bill. So they have to do both or nothing. And so Joe Manchin is the most interesting character in this.
He is in the news every day, multiple times per day.
I've never seen a guy get so much publicity. And you know what he's holding over their heads, which isn't being reported? He has, and he said, I guess he has said this, according to sources that unfamiliar with the situation. If they try to marginalize him or screw him over in any way, he's going to change his party affiliation to Republican. That would switch the Senate immediately over to the Republican Party, and it would throw a huge wrench in the works. And that's what he's holding over their heads.
Well, he's basically acting like a, I don't want to say he's acting like, he is actually, I'll be honest with you,
he's always been very Republican.
He's acting more as a constructive and conservative, fiscally conservative Republican than any of the Republicans are.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's the only one that actually seems to have his act together, whether it's an act or not. But he's the only one that seems to have it, that he's making any sense with some of the things that he's talking about, that he's asking the right questions. He's saying the right things. It's really kind of amazing that that's the only one. Everybody else either wants to pass it or pass more, just get it through, or the hell with it because it's the other side. We're not going to do anything with it. It's terrible. Right. It's a sickness and illness. And then they're slapping it together with spit and glue.
I think Keystone Cops is a good description.
Yeah, they're just bumping into each other. So we talked about at the beginning the idea that nobody loses. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody wins, right? We talked about over the last few weeks the idea that there's so many things that were supposed to be that just aren't. Like, for example, the prophecy of the death of the rental car industry. That Hertz went through bankruptcy, somehow came out of it better off than they were.
Yeah, how does that work?
And that people who invested in it made a bunch of money, even though it went bankrupt, which is bizarre. Well, today, Avis Budget came out with their earnings. Stock was up by 35%. There was some comments by the CEO that the company plans to be more active on EVs and the international bookings can be higher than the 2019 levels. Stock was up 55%. And then it just started moving, up 78%, 107%, 220%.
How did we miss this one?
This happened fast. There was 20% short to float, 6.8 days to cover. So I think what happened is they did the same thing as always. They went out and they started buying out of the money calls in a big way, started blasting the stock up. Those that were selling the calls had to hedge their position, buying more of the stock. It went bananas. It finished up only about 100%. But look at this. Look at that chart.
Let me look at the chart.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
How that's great ridiculous. Is that?
Yeah. So you wanted to buy it early in the year. That's ludicrous.
I mean, you could have bought it at 22 last year.
Yeah.
But what's unbelievable, even before this, let's just take this through the last few months, that Avis.
This is a short, ready to go.
Yeah, it happened. It came down already to three something. It lost about 150 points already since the high.
And that's not even the beginning. It's got to go back down to 100. Come on.
They're talking about EVs and the whole thing about the Hertz deal with Tesla, which we have to talk about that. I mean, this is incredible. Listen, there's more.
It's like the time some dull company in the doldrums hasn't done anything. And then they say, we're going to adopt blockchain.
Yeah, this is blockchain. Sure it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. Boom, next thing you know, the stock goes skyrocketing. And nobody even knows what blockchain is.
EVs are the hit word right now.
Yeah, and what it seems inconvenient, if you ask me.
Yeah, EVs are the whole thing. You know, everything's EV. Everything's EV. You know, you get a $12,500 tax credit directly available on the purchase of the car as opposed to getting it on the back end. For those companies that are unionized. Yeah,
it probably makes your books look great for, you know, one quarter. Of course.
You know the deal that's going on, right? In the bill, you get $12,500. For a car that you buy from a company that is unionized and $7,500 non-unionized?
What's in the bill?
That's in the bill.
The bill?
The infrastructure hoo-ha bill.
Why is it in? What has that got to do with anything?
They're trying to push.
So the government's just going to give me money and the bill and the taxpayers are picking up that. So I'm going to give me $12,000 if I buy from a union shop?
Yes, that is correct. Simply said.
I just get $12,000.
So if the car costs you $40,000, just subtract $12,500 from it.
Yeah.
Which will make the cars be more expensive, by the way, just to clarify. Because that's what's going to happen, right?
That's what you do.
Bump the price up a couple grand. Nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah, just a couple grand. Doesn't take much. That really adds to the bottom line.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing. And then, you know, you're going to hit the companies that are non-union because, of course, union shops make a lot more money than non-union shops, right?
They do?
No, that's the theory. I guess that's what they're saying.
Never heard of it.
They want to persuade you to move to that direction, which is pretty ridiculous.
It's not acceptable to me.
Yeah.
And I'm a union guy.
Yeah, this is bad. So now we have more squeeze after the close today. Another one of the meme stocks. And all the meme stocks are starting to rumble, by the way, again. After the close, Bed Bath & Beyond, as my wife calls it, Bed Bath & Beyond Vile, earnings came out. It wasn't great earnings, but they have some deal with Kroger where they're going to sell Bed Bath & Beyond products on Kroger's online site. Stock rockets 80% in the after hours.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go.
See, this is another one. I wouldn't have picked this in a million years because our local Bed Bath & Beyond shuttered.
This is the point. You have to go after those companies that are obviously terrible. Those companies that have problems nobody wants and what they're doing. Think about these companies. I mean, AMC, it's a movie company. What's that about? In the era of Netflix and all that, what's a movie company? A car company in the era of Lyft and Uber. By the way, Uber, anybody that's using Uber and Lyft, you need to check the prices on both or so. Every time you go out, because everything that I've seen recently, Uber has been a few dollars more than Lyft every single time.
Yeah, take Lyft.
And then they screw you when you retry. They bump the price up. That's kind of the play right now. You know, everybody where there was a problem, it seems to be there was
just nuts.
Yep. I promised an interesting site, something I want you to look at too. Tell me what you think. This is not an ad. This is just passing along some information.
Use some ads.
It's marketbeat.com. I just found it today. I don't know how I found it. I was kind of looking. I'm like, hey, this is kind of a cool site. A few pop-ups here and there.
The market from MarketWatch kind of stolen.
Yeah.
It looks like an old MarketWatch site.
Yeah, it's not. There's another name on the bottom left. If you scroll all the way down, bottom left. It tells you who is actually doing it. I was kind of trying to see if there was an angle here. But maybe the news not to look at, but the quality of the information that they present and how they present it with regard to the stock information, I thought was pretty good. And the way that you can search for things.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
I'm sure there's somebody else behind this whole thing. By the way, we don't have advertisers today or recently, so that leaves it up to our listeners to provide what they can. This is our panhandling segment. Where, you know, if you enjoy the show, if you find that information, if you learn something, if You glean some information that is like usable at a cocktail party. And you seem really smart to all the people that you're talking to. Well, maybe a little give back. You can go over to dhunplugged.com, click on the little yellow button that says donate, and give at will. It is the giving season, of course.
It is.
We're entering into. Now, Tesla's share slumped after a massive run. I can't even begin to explain how incredible the price has been recently, up at $1,125. That, of course,
unbelievable.
Is post-split. But Elon Musk tweets that the Hertz deal is not signed yet. You know, Hertz ordered 100,000 cars.
Oh, that must have done wonders for someone.
Yeah.
So the Hertz deal is just a lot of talk?
I don't know. Now, Hertz said that they have a deal and deliveries are already happening. And if you call up Hertz, I think in California, you can get a Tesla. There's only a few of them. But that doesn't mean anything to me. So the question is, who's lying?
Someone.
Now, Elon maybe is trying to talk down the stock to then bring it back up, if you follow what I'm saying, right? Bring some more shorts in, and then the deal goes through, and then they rocket the stock again. Who knows?
He can also just go back on Rogan's show and smoke a joint. That'll nail the stock for a couple hundred points.
A couple hundred points for a couple of days, and then it goes right back up. Now, there's more on Tesla. They're recalling nearly 12,000 U.S. vehicles sold since 2017 because a communication error may cause a false forward collision warning or unexpected activation of the emergency brakes. That's going to be ugly. So the National Highway Traffic Safety.
Always something.
Yeah, as they said Tuesday. In the supply chain area, Apple is cutting back on production of its iPads to allocate some of those parts and components to the iPhone 13. So production of the iPad was...
What the common parts are.
I mean, there could be some chips. There could be the camera lenses. There could be something, but they're basically also using parts that were intended for older phones are being switched to the iPhone 13. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel that some of the older parts are still the same, but I guess that's possible. They didn't change out all of the electronics in there.
Yeah, the microphone's probably the same.
Yeah, there's some things that they're using.
The speaker can't be that much different. I think the cameras are probably a little different. The lenses might not be. And there's the chips inside. They're probably 90% of them are identical.
Yep. So they're going to be switching all that over to get the iPhone 13. Like he said, there was a $6 billion hole in the overall revenue due to the fact that they couldn't get parts. They just couldn't get the stuff done. So
now he is the guy.
Yeah. Yep.
He's the just-in-time superstar inventory character. Mm-hmm. That's what he got the job.
Modi from India is targeting net zero emissions by 2070.
Yeah, it's always good to push it out like that.
Yeah, India's prime minister on Monday said he was in the COP26 climate talks where Joe Biden fell asleep, and he's got to get his, you probably saw that clip, right? Of him falling asleep at the meeting. Are you not answering, or are you just once again gone?
What?
Joe Biden fell asleep. Did you fall asleep too?
I'm sorry? No, I didn't fall asleep.
I was saying Joe Biden fell asleep at the COP26 climate talks.
I saw that video. I'm not sure he fell asleep, but maybe he did.
He was resting. He was thinking. He was.
Well, he was. The problem I have with that being, most people who fall asleep in these kind of meetings,
yes,
they jerk up when they wake up.
Correct. Their head goes flying. But he may have perfected it. You don't know.
Well, maybe, but I doubt it.
He may have perfected the perfect cross-armed. The perfect
doze. So you're dozed.
Yeah.
Your head is stationary. Mm-hmm. And somebody came up and interrupted him, and he wasn't startled.
First of all, that person is probably going to get a talking to because he wasn't there fast enough. That guy is the wake Joe up guy. That's who that guy is. He's the guy that's like, hey, go over and take out a pad and look like you whisper something to him like, hey, Joe, wake up. I'm talking to you about something. Just nod your head. Take a look at this pad, and we're going to make it look like we're actually talking about something.
Yeah, well, that's the way it went.
Yeah. But anyway, they're going to be targeting this.
By the way, I can't blame a guy for falling asleep under those circumstances. That was boring.
I agree totally. I totally agree. I fell asleep watching him fall asleep.
He's on jet lag. He's in the wrong time zone. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Told by an elder brother of Joe's.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, most people are going to be trying to cut it back by 2030. So 2070, which is what? 50 years from now. So we'll have to see. Facebook is changing its name to Meta. Whatever.
Yeah, I think that's like the alphabet, though. It's not really there.
It's not a big deal. But Meta Materials spiked on the news of the name change. Stock with symbol MMAT. Somebody thought that was it. That was
Oh, that's funny. This is how intelligent today's investors are. Yeah.
We've seen this before. We've seen this before with other names.
Yeah, we have. We see it all the time.
If people are interested in some of the players in the metaverse, those companies that are really going to be at this point today are working at this, and whether or not you like this idea of being a Ready Player One concept of a world or not. You got Roblox, Microsoft, NVIDIA. The rest of the names are over on episode number 579. The show notes over on dhunplugged.com. Check it out. Let's see what else. How much time are we doing here? How are we doing on time? Okay.
Didn't Microsoft already go through this and bailed?
Yeah. But they're still involved. They're still involved. They got to want to be involved.
Yeah, they got to keep their finger in the pie.
Yep. They always do. Roblox actually had a system malfunctioned over the weekend. Every aspect of their system and sites were down. 3-day outage. What they said was a core system in our... Maybe you're going to have to decipher this for me because I don't understand it. A core system in our infrastructure became overwhelmed, prompted by a subtle bug in our back-end service communications while under a heavy load. This was not due to any peak in external traffic or any particular experience. Rather, the failure was caused by the growth in the number of servers in our data centers. What? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it sounds like a misconfiguration problem where they had put something online that had, I don't know, something's amiss. There was something wrong with their architecture, and I think it failed, and they couldn't get it back up.
Crazy.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Barclays CEO, Jess Staley, he was now stepping down due to the fact that there was an investigation into his relationship with Jeff Epstein. This guy is still causing problems, huh?
Yeah, Epstein's this guy is the gift that keeps on giving.
It's unbelievable. I mean, if you shook hands from the guy, you got to step down. So this is the CEO of Barclays, which of course we know that's always been all sorts of problems. Same thing with Credit Suisse. But supposedly there's some investigation going on and he wants to step down because, of course, he doesn't want to muddle the waters and could do his job correctly.
Somebody flashed a picture in front of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember her?
Yeah, remember her? Remember this little guy? Remember this 12-year-old on the island in the plane? Real estate prices. Every major metro area in the U.S. has seen double-digit price percent increases in home price over the last year, led by Phoenix, which is 33.5% higher. All except for one city are at record highs.
Yeah.
Here's a nice table there.
Chicago,
which is...
Can't keep up.
Which is up 45%. It's still the last high time it hit an all-time high was 2007. It's never recovered.
Yeah, well, 2007 is upon us again. These are ridiculous numbers.
Ridiculous. I mean, let's see. What do we got here?
This is a shame because you can't, you don't have, it's not balanced. It's just like everything's up.
Yep.
Except that to say San Francisco is probably a little... Las Vegas up once to 165% over the last 10 years.
I mean, the numbers, the Phoenix up 187%, 18% increase in home values on average over 10 years. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You got to wonder how people are actually moving there, except for the fact that there's low rates, of course. Pfizer update, wouldn't you know it? Pfizer on Tuesday raised their full-year sales forecast for its COVID-19 vaccine.
Yep. And once they get those five-year-olds taking the shot, boom.
Yep. They raised it by 7.5% to $36 billion as it signs deals with countries for booster doses and receives clearances for using its shots in a broader age group. The company said it's also on track to deliver 2.3 billion doses of the vaccine out of the roughly 3 billion it plans to make this year. very good pandemic for Pfizer. Thank you very much for the pandemic, Pfizer. Stock buybacks. This is kind of interesting. After dropping dramatically during the COVID crisis, buybacks have increased every quarter since bottoming in the second quarter of the year. And here's a little quick note here. Went from $199 billion in Q1 20 to back to $199 billion for the quarter for Q2 20.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yep. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Right back to the top. $199 billion of buybacks.
Just in the quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple bought back
almost
like
$1 trillion a year.
25% of the entire value of Apple has been bought back by Apple.
Yeah, at a high price. I don't know. Does that make sense to anybody? I guess so.
Unbelievable. This is great. Retail sales. We talk about this every year. This is what the National Retail Federation, or the NRF, this is their big moment in the sun. This time of year, says that it expects holiday sales during November and December to rise between 8.5 and 10.5% as compared to last year, which would total about $843 billion of sales. Now, what they didn't tell you is there's about 3 to 4% inflation in there that you got to put up. So those, it's not like they're selling more. It's really about 4 to 5%, which is pretty much
what it is every year.
Yeah, pretty much what they have every year. Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm. What else we got here? Let's see here. The one we got that. We talked about donations. We talked about that. Oh, and in the off financial news area, running with the bulls in Spain. But did you ever do this, or would you ever do this?
I probably would have done it when I was younger if I had a mind to. I think it doesn't look that dangerous.
Well, a man died from his injuries after he was gored by a bull running festival in eastern Spain. It was the first such fatality in the country since such events resumed after COVID-19 curbs were relaxed during the summer. They probably didn't...
Didn't zig when he should have zagged.
Yeah. Got him in the leg and he just hit up the artery there, the femoral artery, and just bad news.
You don't want that.
No, it's not good. This is what's going to happen to some of the bulls also over here. They don't watch where they're putting their money. Gonna get gored right in the get gored right in the groin. Right in the groin. Well, this is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. Got just one that came off the list. The Xerox Holdings up 15%, which is a buyout candidate that you called back in August of 2020.
Yeah. And it was up and down, too. It didn't always have a 15% up.
Some names just keep on, like, holding. Like, I mean, FEC bankrupt, 105%, so you made that over 100% club on that. Some of them are starting to inch up. Actually,
there's only two members of the club.
No, we've had more than that.
No, you and me.
Oh, yes, that's true. It's a closed club. The other one that was interesting that I saw this week that I saw a big move on was Enviva Partners LP, EVA. And that was an insider's pick by you, up 35.5% right now. United Parcel Service, my pick. Cold Storage, which wasn't the reason why it actually moved, is up 21%. Gold is still stuck down 6%. But otherwise, the other ones that were kind of good, your oil pick, which is really kind of interesting because, I mean, we're talking about since 9/29, that is up 10%. Oil shouldn't, on top of the fact it's been up incredibly to begin with. So OPEC is playing around pretty well.
I know. That was another thing. I'm going to play another one of these types of stocks, which is the real reason for that oil pick was it was talk of the town.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to play this one time?
SoFi.
Oh, really? SoFi, SoFi, which was a SPAC. It is now SoFi. It's a financial.
SOFI, Talk of the Town.
Talk of the Town. I like it. Control C, Control V. Did I do it right? Yep.
Talk. I do drift away from my normal Talk procedures, but. Town.
Talk of the Town. I like it. Buying that. Hear me typing. Let's see.
I think since on today's show, I think I will like to short. Was it Hertz? Not Hertz. It car. Was the budget.
Car?
Yeah, the car.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to short it. What's the thesis? Just ridiculous?
Because it's ridiculous.
What stop do you want on it?
I'll just say, I think 15% would be
15 standard right now. I'm going to add one short also, a company called Upstart Holdings.
What is this?
So Upstart Holdings is, they call it an AI company, but basically what they do is they work in the middle of the loan area. They try to get the best and do a lot of dealings with loans and the loan market. But they use a algorithm to come up with the best loan scenarios and help banks and all that. They kind of like sit in between. And the stock has just rocketed higher from its IPO not too long ago. But I'm thinking, you know, if we start seeing interest rates go up a little bit, and tomorrow is a big day. Tomorrow is going to be a commentary by the Fed as whether or not they're going to start their tapering tomorrow and talk about it's a Fed day tomorrow. So I think that we start seeing that interest rates start to move up a little bit. There is the potential for for this to be a problem. So I'm going to add that to the list. Upstart UPST trading at $344 a share right now.
Yes, go ripe to drop.
So we got that. Let me color this correctly. Gray. That's you. All right. Anything else? Any other ones?
No, that's the only one I thought was kind of interesting.
You want to tell anybody what you're writing for Substack or anything big that's going on?
Yeah, I might be writing about these mobile ID programs, which I'm not a fan of. It's called MILs or something.
Is that like the vaccine cards and all that?
No, it's like a vaccine card on your phone, right? Only it's got everything on there, your driver's license and all this stuff on your phone. The other thing I might write, I might actually start up the Inside Track column, which is the alternative column there, which is going to be more tech oriented, because I just bought my wife a new Samsung Galaxy laptop.
Wow. I didn't even, how was that?
Oh, this thing's a jaw dropper.
Really?
It's not reviewed anywhere. I don't see it. You can get them on Amazon. It's paper. It's thin. It's really thin. It weighs about 2.9 pounds, maybe. And it's got a big screen for a 15-inch screen at 2.9 pounds, touch screen. I've never seen anything like it. And it's actually beautiful.
What is it running? Is it running Android?
No, it's running
Windows.
It's a laptop. It's running Windows 10.
Huh, interesting.
It's just a beautiful product.
Wow. I like it.
And of course, I think this may have something to do with the Samsung's newer policies of not giving out review units. I bought this thing, but I would say that it's the prettiest thing I have seen for maybe 10 years.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, listen to the Disciplined Investor coming up this week. We have a Back to Basics. We're going to be doing this over the next few weeks. As we approach the end of the year, we got some talk about taxes and estate planning, some things that we really don't talk about that often that kind of we put to the side, but I think it's time to really break it out, dust it off, and start talking about it again.
Sounds good.
That's it. All right. I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill. ¶¶
Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.